Well, and it also gets into some of the future criteria that we'll be looking at. So this criteria is not the end of scientific acceptability. This is just the first one. And the first step in order to get through the door, besides meeting importance, is that you have a precisely defined and specified specification. The steering committee cannot evaluate a measure that doesn't have that. So you can't just say, well, we're going to measure this, and you don't specify what that is.
And also think about, these are things that the developer is telling you that they're describing the measure. So to the extent that we can get checkboxes and that they are sufficiently, they are given the opportunity to explain about their measure, the judgment from the steering committee is really just have they adequately, you know, described their measure based on the options that we've given them to do that. For this particular section, because it's so general, it's really just a descriptive, an option for them, or a time for them to describe the measure. So
let's move on to 2AB and move through, and let's see, and then circle back to this discussion after we get through the other components of scientific acceptability and see if we've missed anything.
Okay.
So 2AB begins addressing the modules that we discussed on last week's call. So 2AB is the measure specifications must detail all data protocol steps and measurement functions and rationale, including data cleaning, initial inclusion and exclusion criteria, and analysis of missing resource use units. So what we've done on the left side is to, based on the discussion from last week, list out how we would be requesting that information from the developers to support those criteria.
It seems to me, this is Dolores, it seems to me that something that's missing here is just defining the data elements that are needed. Not kind of the source or the kind of general type of data, but really the data elements within a particular data source that are needed to run the measure. Because I don't see that really outlined anywhere.
We're open to further explicitly stating that, but that is the data dictionary.
Ah, okay.
So, and we usually have them provide a URL or attachment rather than try and cut and paste it into the specification. But I think, to your point, we should probably clarify that further.
Got it. Now, that makes total sense. Yeah.
So what's really new as we get into 2A, B, and C, it also includes this justification and rationale that all of you mentioned, and as did the entire steering committee, that it's going to be important for the TAPs and the steering committees that they are able to see what the measure developer was thinking, how well thought out their work towards their specification was. So this is why we're requesting, in addition, these rationales and justifications. And that could include, we didn't do it because, and it needs to be, you know, have some kind of intentional thought behind it.
I think these sections, the A, B, A, C, and A, D, are good, although there is a little typo in A, C. And the thing I'm struck by is at this level, well, yeah, there's a you're a lot of, asking a lot of good questions about how these the groupers work. And I wonder, again, are we No, this makes sense. I was just thinking, what I was grappling with or thinking out loud was this whole question of, does it only apply to the episode groupers? But no, I think it works for other things too.
Okay, yeah, hopefully not. So if it's getting too narrow in scope, we need to know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So these are all, so far, in terms of scientific validity, all we've been doing is descriptive type stuff. That is, have you explained yourself thoroughly?
At this point, we're still right. These are kind of in words justify the steps. And then when we get down into the two B's is when we ask for actual empirical testing.
I see.
And this was really in response to, first of all, that there are so many more components that we're asking for, and also because this is a new area for evaluation, responding to the request that we ask the developers to give us rationale, because some of them may or may not be doing certain items, and to give them an opportunity to say no, but this is why, and if they are, for them to just in words say why. No empirical dating necessary. They could summarize it, but this is not where we're getting the bulk of analysis.
This is Dolores again. Something that is not apparently intuitive to me, or immediately intuitive to me, is so it says measure or episode clinical logic and method, and then the measure or episode construction logic. And like those really, like I really have to kind of like sit there and think about it and look at all the things underneath and say, okay, what are we really trying to get at here? And as I was doing that, it seemed what helped for me, and I don't know if this is accurate or would help for others, but to add, measure or episode clinical logic and method for identifying population to be measured. I mean, I think that's all about trying to figure out who are you going to include and how are you going to include them using what codes and what grouping methods. And then the measure or episode construction logic is, okay, for that specified population that you've just defined now, what services are you going to be including and how are you including them? So just adding a phrase to each of those, to me, would make it really clear, like, okay, what is each of these steps really trying to get at, if that's accurate, how I've kind of summarized those. And I can certainly put that into writing if that's helpful.
No, I think we've got it. Thanks, Doris.
And Dolores, to your point, we actually struggled with this because the episode construction logic is where we also put the unit of resource use, which then makes the construction a little bit more complicated. So we did think about separating out the identification of the resource units and care settings. Well, the care setting is part of construction. This is the one, the listen, define resource units, that would make it a little bit different, but we'll play with that. But I hear what you're saying, and I think this was also comments provided last time that we clarify what we mean by these particular modules.
Yeah, I think actually, I mean, if you use like measure or episode construction logic of what services are included and how, I mean, that the resource service and the care setting, that kind of falls under what services are included, right? So services provided in particular care settings or around particular types of services. So I think it could still fit under that general category of what services are included and how.
Okay. All right, we'll work on the exact language of that. That's helpful. Thank you.
This is Lisa. Under 2D, what difference were you trying to articulate between the resource service and the care setting?
So it's feasible. I don't know how probable that a resource use measure could, in its construct, focus on ambulatory services, for example. So the care settings are ambulatory care. Potentially, though, they still could be interested in inpatient resource use. So I think care setting is more about where the patient has been, or it's almost, you know, even though we can't really, if resource use measures don't strictly align themselves with the denominator or numerator, it's more like the care setting is about the denominator, the settings of interest, but then the resource use is what types of resources are you interested in measuring for this particular episode, for example.
Well, 2D is pretty convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Pretty dense here. It seems like it could use some simplification.
Any suggestions on how to simplify it?
I don't know that you need care setting.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked you to articulate what the difference was. I hear the point that you made. I'm not sure how to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessary.
So if we had measurement of analysis, which is, you know, what do you intend to attribute this measure, and the resource use measures that will be measured, then the care setting is not needed. Is the group in agreement with that? Any objections?
Yes, so I'm sorry, I don't see where it says the words care setting. We're talking about D?
It's at the bottom of
top of page 8.
Okay. 2AD.
2AD, okay.
I'm just wondering if there would be measures that would be specific to a particular care setting, and that might almost more belong in the one above it, the kind of a measure or episode clinical logic or method to kind of define the population that you're looking at. I don't know.
So if we kept something like care setting, it should be in the clinical logic section?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. I don't know if it's necessary because some measures I think won't be specific to a particular care setting, but it's possible that there could be some measures that would be.
Right.
This is Jack. If we think about use, particularly for internal quality improvement or, trying to understand resource use, the question of where we have spent the resources, what services and what settings, seems to me to be something that users, particularly those internal to organizations trying to make improvement, are going to be interested in. This is one of those cases, though, where I think it's not an absolute bar to considering a measure, but one of those where preference will be given to kinds of concepts.
Preference will be given to
measures which provide more detail on the care setting and the types of resources on which types of resources being used.
This is back to the subtotal issues.
Exactly back to the subtotal issue, which is where I think the care setting issue comes in.
Right, and they'll have to define the subcomponents of resource use, because no one would be able to calculate the resource use without that.
I'm frankly, in terms of scientific acceptability, I'm more concerned about what that's more concerned is small difference here, that we know what resources have not been counted.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Because depending upon the data systems they're using, there may be all kinds of resources in the towards the care that are not rolled up in the aggregate measure, and we'll see that when we see what they have rolled up in terms of the disaggregated.
I don't know what to do about comparison.
And that's a great point. Let's bring it back up again when we start getting into testing information that we're requesting. Any other considerations for the care setting checkboxes? I'm kind of hearing two different points of view. One is potentially to get rid of it completely, and the other will maybe move it into the clinical logic section, and it might be nice to have. And if it's not applicable, they could check not applicable. And maybe this is something for the whole steering committee to toss around as well.
Yeah, the other thing that strikes me, depending on what the intent of that is that, I mean, some of the care settings are actually sort of subcategories of the service units. So if you're looking at the inpatient service unit, you could potentially break that one down further as a subcategory of that one, looking at, okay, so now within inpatient, what happens in these different types of facilities or something. So I don't know. It really depends on how that is intended to be used. I think it has multiple potential uses.
Right. Yeah, so we need to clarify what the intent of collecting that data. Okay. That's a good point.
And then just one other, perhaps that one other bullet suggested by Jack, which says description of any resources that are left out.
Yeah, I think if you mentioned that specifically, that would be useful.
Okay.
Exclusions that are incompatible with the measure or irrelevant to the measure or something like that.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so, and then moving on to 2AE, we have the...
Can we hold on just 1 second?
Please.
I'd like to make another comment. One of the things that confuses me through all of this is when you talk about denominator and numerator. When I think of episodes, I don't think about denominators. Can you explain what that means?
So we're moving away from using the term denominator and numerator. So I agree, episodes don't necessarily fit into that category, which is why this process is very difficult for us, because the submission form and the criteria were set up to evaluate a numerator and denominator distinctly. So we'll be... If you see denominator and numerator creeping in there, it's just from old language. We are trying to strip that out.
Okay, dope. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
I do think the other challenge, though, in terms of that is that we're not looking at only episodes, so it has to be general enough to be able to include all types of resource use measures. So that's the other challenge. That sometimes the denominator concept may apply to certain measures.
Correct.
Weren't we using sort of units or something like that as a substitute?
We were, but we got a lot of feedback that units was confusing, because some folks automatically thought of resource units, and then what do you mean by a measurement unit? And so we've been attempting to find a word other than unit, so that when we talk about resource units, it's clear that we're talking about resource units. So open to any suggestions. There was a lot of distaste for the use of the word units because of its kind of connotative link to a resource unit.
Call it widgets. You can invent your own term.
I'm tempted, trust me, to invent my own word here, but or run a pool at the company and see what we come up with. Okay. Any other questions? Can we move on to 2AE?
So 2AE focuses on the category that we kind of agreed on the last call, where we moved risk adjustment, the control for comorbid conditions, and costing methodology under an adjustment for comparability header. So
stratification is missing here.
Okay, and we're missing. We just realized we're missing stratification. So that also was put under there.
Four bullets.
And we certainly acknowledge that there are other steps that are meant to adjust to the measure to increase comparability. If there's requests to move things around, we're certainly willing to entertain that, but we felt these were the clear four big pieces that should be pulled out separately.
Okay. The next one, which I think on if you're looking at a paper copy, probably also says 2AE, but that's actually would be 2AF, which on page 9, which is profiling, implementation, assigning, and reporting, which includes attribution, peer groups, threshold and outlier rules, benchmarking, and method for discriminating differences. And actually,
yeah. So that's, you know, are you using a confidence interval, et cetera?
Right. So let's go ahead and move into 2B. This is really where we get into the testing, data that they're going to submit to support the reliability and validity of the measure. And what we've done on the left side is for reliability, we have divided it into reliability for the clinical logic and measure construction, reliability of the risk adjustment model, the reliability of the costing methodology. So feedback is welcome here.
Does this encompass what you would anticipate would need to be submitted to demonstrate that the measure is reliable, so that they would have to show that they can repeat results using the clinical logic and construction of the measure that they've specified, that their risk adjustment has some reliability and has been tested approach, and that their costing method, and I'm not sure, but I think this is only if they're using something other than allowable charges or what's in their database, that it's reliable. So if they've come up with some kind of standardizing price approach, that approach has been tested and meets some kind of reliability test. Okay, take silence as hopefully agreement and not just utter confusion.
Well, I was just trying to think about what the heck somebody would do to show this, and that's other than doing some sort of split sample and saying, you know, we get the same result when we do it with this half the population as we do with this half of the population. But I'm not sure. Well, that's reliability, right? What you're saying is you get the same result as opposed to any.
Yeah, I think there's. I think you're right. There's generally, when you're talking about databases, in my experience, there's two ways that you can demonstrate reliability. You know, do some kind of random split of your data and test and see that, you know, you should end up with similar results, or over time.
You can also look at from a different point of view, and when you're profiling physicians, people care about consistency of scores and how sensitive the methodology is to varying some of your assumptions. AMA has sent a letter out to all the large carriers because of a paper that came out of RAND that claims that a lot of the profiling methodology being used now for physicians is not reliable. So that reliability issue is a really big issue for this kind of work.
And so what is it that they're really asking when they mean reliability, that about a particular physician score? Are they talking about repeatability or?
Well, the paper basically says that the scores themselves are not statistically reliable. Now, there's ways to deal with it, but that's the concern. I mean, internally in our company, we've had issues in which when we update our profiling data on a quarterly basis and the scores for some of the physicians change, and the assumption is, well, if the physician is efficient, they should show up as efficient consistently across time. So that's just one of the issues.
And the other issue is, why is there a lack of reliability, and it doesn't make sense that physicians without changing their practice patterns or their population base would have such variation in being put in different quintiles. And my concern is that from what we're asking people, we're still not going to have an answer to those questions.
Right. And so this question is specific to the measure that's being presented. So if a measure ends up in a different quintile from another, I mean, if a physician ends up looking less or more high or low on resource use from a different measure, that's not really what we're evaluating. I think it's of interest, but specific to this evaluation criteria. There's always the opportunity for the steering committee to use judgment, but for this particular evaluation criteria, it really is about the repeatability of the measure.
Yeah, so the 2F deals with this question of statistically significant and practically or clinically meaningful differences,
right?
Performance, which I think is what David's question is about.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than this reliability testing issue.
Yeah, this is really the simple concept of reliability being that it's repeatable.
And maybe this has more to do with reliability of the measurement process itself.
Of the measure.
Yes.
In the sense, can you measure the resource itself accurately and consistently and reliably?
Well, and do the episodes come out the same way every time, I guess?
Right, if it's an episode measure, correct.
That some small perturbation of the sequence of events is not going to result in the person ending up with wildly different groupings in wildly different groupings.
And I actually misspoke. It is within the same population in the same time period. So it's a very narrow approach in assessing reliability. I think validity, as already mentioned, is where we get into the more nitty-gritty complexities of the measures. So, we would hope that most measures being submitted can produce the same results in the same population in the same time period over and over again. Then they just have to demonstrate that.
So I think we're fine on 2B.
Okay. Well, we can move on to 2C, which is validity testing. And the criteria asks that we ask that the developer has demonstrated that the measure reflects the cost of care resources provided, adequately distinguishing. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought somebody was talking. Adequately distinguishing high and low cost resource use. Also, that resource units selected for applying to the unit of measure demonstrates that the included resource units fit the conceptual construct, and that the scoring, aggregation, and weighting rules are consistent with the conceptual construct. And this relates often to the pricing or costing methodology. So what we've got on the left-hand side, again, is clinical logic and construction, risk adjustment, and costing methodology for validity.
So what are the weights that are referred to? I don't understand that.
Potentially, in my experience, sometimes there's an option. Let's say you're measuring a PCP, and you may opt to reduce the weight of inpatient services, not to overwhelm the PCP episode cost. So perhaps you still calculate inpatient because you don't want to completely allow the PCPs not to be accountable, but you don't want them to be accountable at 100%, so potentially you could apply a weight of 10%.
I see.
That's a good example. We've had lots of discussion about that issue, about do you hold physicians responsible for hospital costs? And one of the ways you can deal with it is you can either exclude them completely, or you can include them but don't weight them much.
Right.
So it's a little bit ambiguous because it's talking about resource weighting, right? Let's see, weighting rules. I guess maybe that if there was something that explained a little bit more what is meant by a weighting rule.
Sure, we can
expand on
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that we don't get the wrong response.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody misunderstands what that's about. Now maybe that's just my lack of familiarity with this stuff, but
I think it does need clarification. Quite a few people have asked what that is, so.
And then you're saying simple equal weighting.
I think
what does that represent versus unequal weighting? I'm not. You mean that it would apply equality between providers, equality between services? I'm not quite sure.
I actually, in looking at this language, we borrowed it from someplace, and I didn't pay enough attention. I don't think that that's an accurate statement. It may or may not be preferred. I think it's just if you provide differential weighting, you justify it and explain it to us, and we'll give an example.
Okay.
I mean, the common way that this shows up in using episode data for profiling is when you have a physician that you hold responsible for a variety of different types of episodes, do you average the costs for each of the type of episodes and then sum that up, or do you actually weight by the frequency with which a physician performs a particular type or is responsible for a particular type of episode? That's the context in which this comes up. And there are a variety of opinions among vendors about how you do this. Doug Cave is really the odd one out in the sense that he says you reweight all the physicians' scores at the episode level based on the distribution for the norm, not for the physician. So, but there is a variety of differences of opinion about this. But I agree that by taking out that simple equal weighting and just say use differential weighting, justify it, makes the most sense.
Okay.
Yeah. A classic example that Paul talks about is primary care doc who refers out to consultants all the tough patients, so he'd look pretty good if you just had a differential, equal weighting.
Right.
Does anyone have any feedback about the submission items that we're asking for to support this criteria?
So what we were thinking is they should demonstrate validity in the actual measure itself, so the clinical logic and the construction. They should demonstrate validity to the risk adjustment. So we're ignoring anything else potentially, and then validity for a costing method. And again, I'd like the feedback on whether or not if the measure just uses allowable charges or what's in the claims data, whether that needs to be validly tested separately or not. But certainly we thought if there was a standardized pricing approach or some additional weights, that should be tested for validity as well.
Yeah, I doubt that you're going to get that. But so the weighting issue is not really line up with anything on the left-hand side. It actually has to do with about constructing the score, which is not in here, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were thinking weighting in some ways was related to the costing method. But it also is the way in which you construct the score. So if folks think it should be teased out,
I think people realize that it's important. I've just questioned whether it belongs in a different box.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. So I'm, you know, if we need to tease it out from costing method, or maybe it doesn't even belong in costing method, we're open to that.
I would move it. This is David. I think he's correct. I don't think it belongs here.
Should it still be tested for validity, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so it's the identification of meaningful differences of performances, you know, the 2F, back to that, which is about the scoring.
I would agree. You could go there.
So 2F doesn't, and this is fine, so 2F just asks for data analysis that demonstrates that the scoring will give you meaningful differences. So we could put the weighting, I think I'm having a hard time knowing how we would put the weighting in here.
Well, I think there has to be a kind of a left bullet that says, you know, describe the weighting, any weighting scheme where you're going to, you know, exactly what the issues are here. And so it seems like there's more than one kind of weights, one kind of weight. One is this weight where you're weighting different types of episodes, and the other kind of weighting has to do with particular types of care that you may the score, but it all goes into calculating the score, right?
I mean, by reweighting, you can make differences go away or get bigger. And if you do use differential weighting, you have to explain why you have chosen that methodology, because the scores will change. The summary score will change based on that decision.
Correct, which is, I think, one reason why we had put it into 2C, because we wanted some validity testing provided on the weights being assigned.
Well, it's fine to use the validity word. It's just that it's a little bit confusing because the things that are on the left side are about, you know, up earlier in the process, none of which has to do with places where the weights get applied, I don't think.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely make sure we'll look for its home.
So just because, I mean, it's there because the word validity was used for these other things, but I think it belongs, yeah, somewhere else.
Okay.
So we're right at the time where we're supposed to open up for public comment. Let's do that, and then we will wrap up with any final comments and decide on a strategy for moving forward, which we'll probably have to send out some emails.
Yeah, and you're more than welcome if you have the time and inclination to send us comments in email or in track changes in the two documents that if you feel that perhaps haven't been addressed yet today.
So, Stephanie, can you open up the line to the public for anyone who has questions?
All lines are now open. Please go ahead.
If there's anyone on the line from the public that has any questions for the work group, you can do so now. Okay. Well, does anyone have any final comments on either something we did get to or did not get to, or any suggestions for moving forward?
Just briefly, the section 2D I found to be very florid, and I think needs to be stripped down. And you know, it's a pity we didn't. We're in a little bit quicker. We could have gotten through this, but we're pretty close to the end here. But that particular one, I think, is going to take some wordsmithing, because I think it's just trying to do too much in terms of the criteria.
Do you want to try to schedule another call, or is that just too complicated?
We can. That's always dependent upon your schedule. So what we can do is, why don't I send out an availability survey today for something
next week? Early next week.
Next week. Is that something that would work for most of you?
I think what might be a good idea is just to let us individually review, you know, the last couple pages of this. See if there's any consensus or consistency in the comments, and then based on that, go ahead and see if we need another call. I had some concerns about 2D too, but maybe just be, you know, give us a timeline to respond to the rest of the issues. See if there's any consensus.
Okay,
that
sounds like
approach.
An idea. Would next Wednesday, is that too long? Next Wednesday be an okay deadline for you guys to send your feedback? That's about a week.
Yeah, I'll get mine done this weekend because I'm going to be abroad for a couple days next week. But I can certainly meet that deadline personally.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. And there was another deadline you said by Monday. I've forgotten what that was about.
Oh, that was feedback on the summary from the last call. So if we missed anything that you think should be included in that summary, please let us know as well.
Yeah, I had a couple comments, so thanks for clarifying that.
Okay. I will send out an email just as a reminder so you have it somewhere of the both of the deadlines for feedback, Monday for the meeting summary for last call, and Wednesday for feedback on the two documents that we reviewed today.
Sounds like a plan.
Great.
Okay. Thanks again to everyone for your time. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate all the work you did in trying to ferret out the disparate, you know, sources last week. This was much easier to get through.
So
okay.
The next time we get together is with a full group, and that will be, is it October? I'm forgetting.
Yeah, we will probably have to schedule a call prior to that with the full steering committee just to focus on the criteria. The next call that we have scheduled that's on the books is October 5th, and that call is only focused on responding to the comments received on the white paper. So we really probably need to have some separate time that just focuses on the criteria before we do the call for measures. So I'll be looking for something actually separate for that will be addressed to the whole steering committee.
And the white paper will ultimately be distributed, right?
Yes, it will be. It will be before it goes up for comment.
No, but I'm just saying the ultimate product is a white paper that will be available for the public to look at.
Yes, that is correct.
Right, great.
Yes. So, okay, I think sounds like we have a plan. So, as always, you know, if you think of anything, Sally and I are always available, so just let us know.
Okay,
thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Great.
Bye.
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 That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.